This is a Pinball News production.
In years past, I've been talking about how things have been changing in my life, and I have been on a real spiritual quest in how to make things better for myself. And 6 months ago when we were talking about what can we talk about, and I thought, well, let's always suspect someone else's work. And then when I saw the actual schedule, it said, always respect other people's work, and how that would apply to pinball repair strategies. Suspect is being very negative, and respect is very positive. And so I think that fits in with the synchronicity that I've been experiencing, and it's just so wonderful. There's two ways to build self-esteem, and one is to set and accomplish goals. Like Rob's talking about Pinball Expo. Last year I showed a slide of a postcard that I got from Rob before there was Expo. He wanted to create a pen pal club where we could exchange who has what. This was way before the internet. I'm trying to find out who has parts for a 1946-47 game. And from Rob, I learned from Dick Buchel and Steve Young and Gordon Hasse. And, well, anyway, I loved pinball, and I wanted to do more, and I set goals, and I'm here. The other one is to give up all criticism. Man, is that hard to do. And I've been working at it. And so the idea of doing suspect someone else's work versus respect, I'm thinking, brilliant, absolutely wonderful. And by going into the hall, we can see what other people have done. The pinball revolution is on. When a mind is fixed on an idea, that idea tends to be realized. And just going into the hall, you can see it. In Great Lakes, the times that I worked on a hacked up opto board, and that was one of his first things, was that why worry about changing out an opto board? Yeah, you can do it, it'd probably be cheaper, but there is so much respect in being able to buy the part and put it in. And as the years have progressed, Great Lakes has just totally expanded what they have created. In fact, there was a board for Capcom's Flipper Football. Talk about obscure, but I respect that. Working with other people's stuff. Chance Tess, I mean, he was here at the very first expo, and he does quality work. It's just absolutely wonderful to see. And so instead of trying to kill yourself, work with other people and have respect for what they do. The steel parts, instead of trying to take something that's already been re-welded dozens of times, we can now go and buy something new. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that was totally unheard of. Back glasses, play fields, reproductions. Where was that when I was getting into this hobby 20 years ago? It's just absolutely amazing, and I respect it. The idea of the pin score, replacement displays, and that has just progressed up to the next point of X-Pin and the next one, the colored DMDs. It is brilliant. I love it. We are in the next heyday of pinball. The LEDs. I remember when Tim Arnold was just about to open up his pinball museum, and he was all concerned about the power that his hundreds of machines would consume, where what if we had a replacement light bulb with an LED? That would cut. And I remember him showing a slide saying how much energy he could save by just using LEDs, and now how the industry has embraced LEDs. And I had an idea has come and has been fulfilled. The reproduction plastics, where were they 20 years ago? I love it. And if there's an idea that can be improved upon, the super bands. I mean, I bought a couple last year and total suspect, or, oh, what was this guy trying to do? I bought a couple, and they are absolutely wonderful. And so I am very, very positive and upbeat on what is going on in the industry. Next one. So instead of always suspect other people's work, respect other people's work. However,
this is for Rob, because obviously we're in an age of things that revolve around our phones, obviously. I'm sure he got the text message sent to the guys that did the flyering, and of course we're going to use the subject of the seminar here is an autocorrect fail. I'm sure his kids know that as well, and you guys are probably starting to learn this jive here. But obviously that is the definition of it, where the software feature that automatically replaces a word in a word processing form document, message, spreadsheet, search box, etc., to appear as something else that it shouldn't be. But nevertheless, we will go on with the flow and respect that typo. These are some of the things that we've actually found suspecting other people's work. And Scott's taken a lot of these pictures. I've taken a few of them myself. This is one that Scott's taken, and he actually had to point this one out to me because I didn't see it until he's like, yeah, look at it a little closer. And we noticed that the wire was actually wrapped around the diode, so somebody was actually a little lazy to solder the wire on correctly. Assuming that this here is obviously the return line from the end-of-stroke switch, my guess is that's probably going to arc a lot. That'd be my guess.
I doubt if you can see it, but I was working on a Bally transformer or bridge board.
Strikes and spares, actually, on the floor.
And there was one of the wires had been hacked, and the insulation had been burned off. And so that was kind of creating a problem.
Definitely. In fact, this machine drove us nuts because we could not figure out why it kept restarting every time we tapped on the cabinet. And it didn't matter if it was a light tap or the hard tap, it still reset.
And after spending a couple of hours working on the driver board, working on the transformer board, Ron suggested, check your slam switch. And it was just so close, the slightest touch. And so all I could do was laugh. I couldn't assign blame to anybody.
Nevertheless, everything's been rebuilt, and it's actually working 100% on the floor. This one looks normal, but it doesn't.
The curse of the cold solder.
Yep. Can anybody spot where it's at on this picture?
Mm-hmm. Actually, above the top one.
Yep. The top post. Just that slight hair crack right there, causing so much grief on one target. In fact, that was a...
This was someone's replacement micro switch on a hurricane, just before when the ball goes into the juggler. And it would work sometimes, sometimes it wouldn't. So I took it apart and replaced it with the proper switch. And then the other thing was the VUC. It was, why would it be so intermittent? And I don't know if the picture really doesn't do it justice, but there is no spring on the top half of the VUC. So it was actually using the blade in that previous picture as the spring going back up. This, I thought, was brilliant. I have had the situation where I've never, especially in the need for the longer, and you have, you need a 4-inch, but you have a 5-inch in your bag.
Is this your work?
No.
No.
This was a clean, the guy had three machines that he bought like 20, 30 years ago, and they hadn't been cleaned since, and so I was just doing a thorough going through, and when I saw that, all I could do was giggle. I'd never seen it.
Definitely got to use this one more often. Mm-hmm. This is actually my work I'm ashamed of. But I will admit it. I do admit that, you know, we're trying to make these machines better, obviously. We're actually taking all these batteries off the board, obviously. In our store, it's a company law that every damn battery is off the board and it's off to an external box. Scott had the idea of actually using, you know, the gator clip ideas, and of course I was like, no, I would like to solder them directly to the board in case they fall off. Well, I don't know if I was tired or I just had a really bad headache, but obviously I missed the solder pad on this one and could never figure out why it couldn't hold the batteries, because it looked fine on the top of the board, but on the bottom of the board it was obviously broken between the two traces, causing it not to store the batteries on the game. But nevertheless, it did get corrected and is working fine. I think this was a customer's repair too, because we got a couple of them like this.
Yeah.
Where they couldn't figure out why the damn flipper wasn't working.
And we tell the people, you know, that pinball is very suspect to vibration. And, you know, every time you hit a coil, every time you hit a flipper, vibrate, vibrate, vibrate.
And this happens a lot on them. This is our favorite one in our store. When people ask, there was batteries on that damn computer? And of course, this is the reason why we put the external battery boxes on the machines. But I think this machine here was actually repaired, because this can be fixed, and I always accept challenges.
But I want to put a plug in for Rotten Dog. Instead of, you know, pulling your hair out, trying to repair a board. When Steve Young had the first replacement Bally CPU board, or you could have to program, you know, tell him which game it was for, and then how that transformed to the Ultimate board, where you could just by dip switch settings, you can have any Bally or Williams. 20 years ago, that was just totally unheard of. Someone somewhere's got to make a replacement board. And now that you can do it for the Williams,
save so much headaches.
Power supplies. The aftermarket boards are just absolutely wonderful. So I respect those other people's work.
This one, I think, was pretty hysterical because, you know, we actually reflow every solder joint under a power supply just to make sure it doesn't fail. Apparently, some other technician sometime in its life figured it was just important to do just 3 of them. Then you wondered why the rest of the pins get, you know, develop their cold solder joints, why the display keeps cutting in and out, why certain functions don't work like the 25-volt solenoids, and so forth. But if they would spend the extra 2-3 minutes reflowing the rest of them, they would not have the problems. And that's part of that, you know, suspecting other people's work. I'm sure you guys have seen that before. Same idea with the batteries. Unfortunately, with something like this, we would actually have to replace, you know, looking at probably 8 transistors here, 8 or 9 transistors, times 2, because I always do the pre-drives as well, just because you never know what could have gotten between them.
And the Bally fuse holders, I talk about one of the problems with American manufacturing, where they use the cheapest components possible.
And I think this one here looks like they tried to solder it to the actual fuse. And the third one over.
But you got to do what you got to do.
Now, this is actually a service call I went on.
Last week.
Yeah, last week. In fact, we talked to this customer on the phone. You know, check for broken wires, check for this, check the fuses. He's like, oh, the fuses are fine, everything's working fine except for the one flipper. Has anybody spot the problem in this one? It's pretty good, you got it. And I sit there. I sent Scott a text message. I was like, you sent me on a 50-mile trip for a 5-minute broken wire? But he's like, yeah, the customer said he looked at that. And I showed his wife. I was like, you might want to show this to your husband and say it was a broken wire. She still ended up paying for the service call mileage.
Yeah, we only charged nice.
This is one I actually worked on. I thought this was hysterical. They were too lazy to fix the solenoid transistor on this Close Encounters of the Third Kind. The string was actually laced, I think, through the bottom of the machine so that their kids could pull on it to eject the ball. It works. Exactly. This one we actually brought out here. Obviously, somebody with too much time on their hands to, you know, design a alphanumeric display glass. Believe it or not, it actually works. I had this in my PinBot, and I figured I'd bring it out here for you guys to see. They did spend some time on it. If you guys want to look at it closer, you're more than welcome to. Somebody painstakingly hand-soldered the display on there.
Compared to the, we had a DMD where they had piggybacked a working glass over a dead glass. That was insane.
In fact, that was actually auctioned off a couple of years ago at the Make-A-Wish. I think it pulled in quite a bit of money, didn't it? Just because of what it was. This is my work, and we actually brought this out here. This board did work. If you guys are actually on the Facebook pinball page, I've actually posted this on there. It did work, and more than welcome to pass that one around if you want to. I do plan to get this one working again because I like my games to be original, and my Road Kings obviously did not have the original board in it. So one of these days it will work, and it did survive an accident, and of course my car flipped 5 times and tossed it around like a tossed salad, and I'm still alive.
I did a service call on a game. I've got a high speed in a laundromat, and I was rather amused. This is one of the few selfies I've ever taken. I don't know if you can read the sign that was on the machine. Takes money, no balls. This is a service call I did. This Monte Carlo was in a house fire and had not worked in about 20, 25 years. And this guy's middle name, legally, is Tilt, because the parents owned this game. And so I was able to restore this family heirloom. Talk about a challenge trying to repair a game where all the wires inside are black. But what last year I talked about synchronicity and how things happen. I don't know if anyone has ever seen the movie The Secret. If you haven't, it's on YouTube, or you can get it from the library. I claim The Secret is just New Age hocus pocus, but the law of attraction is mentioned, and I firmly believe in that. I had a customer who kept bugging me, wanted me to find a hook. And that's a fairly rare game. And I sold one maybe 10 years ago. And within a month or two, the guy called me up, said he's moving. Would I be interested in his hook? Yeah, I think I would be. And so I called the customer. His name was Tom. And he got excited. Now, the situation was is that the guy who was moving also had a player piano that he wanted to tie into the sale of his hook. And so I just kind of held out, said no. But finally he called me back and said, you know, he'll sell the hook. And I bought it and took it back to the store, and everything was wonderful. And the guy waited months to pay me off. And he said, once we get it all paid off, I'll deliver it. And I had the one address, and when it was finally paid off, he changed the address, and I was going to deliver it on a Saturday. On the following Wednesday, I had had a service call set up for an old dart machine, and there was another customer who I was going, who was also moving, who had two machines, a Millionaire and a GoldenEye. What worked out was the new address for the delivery of the hook machine was about 2 miles from the guy who I was going to pick up the Millionaire and GoldenEye. And a mile from that was the service call on the old dart machine. Okay. Well, so I just called up the Wednesday service calls and said, hey, I'm going to be out. Normally, I have all my tools and all my parts in the machine, in my car. But to put two machines in the back of the Ford Windstar, I have to take all my toolboxes out and all my part boxes. So I deliver the hook. Fine. I then go to the pick up the machines. And as I'm pulling, as I'm turning down the machines, I've unplugged the machine, and I notice that there's this big grounded plug that I had added on to the power cord. Didn't think much of it and continued tearing down the games, loaded them up, went to the next service call. And it was an early 80s dartboard that wouldn't keep score right. And when I went to the machine, just by my touching the board, grounded it, all the problems went away. I pull out the plug, and sure enough, the ground plug was missing. The box that I had the ground plug was back at the store. Ah, the GoldenEye in my... So I go out to the car, take off the ground plug, and put it on. And I can't charge you for this. And it was like a 5-minute service call. And the other part of the story is that I am about 40 miles from the store. And how all this has come together. So sitting in the guy's driveway was the GoldenEye. And months later, Tom, the guy with the hook, comes in, and he's all excited, and he's gotten some other games. And the guy with the dartboard said he wanted to buy a pinball machine. He comes into the store. And he looks around, and he spends probably an hour going from machine to machine to machine. And the machine he picks up, he decides to buy, was the GoldenEye, while Tom is still in the store. Now, that's just spooky synchronicity. And all I can do is say, you're a funny guy. John wanted to borrow a high speed. And sure, so he takes it over to his friends, and he brings it back, and I all of a sudden realize that that's got the wrong set of legs on it. It's got the rock, you know, right length legs, but trying to be as anal. I go to the Pinball Internet Database, which is absolutely brilliant. God, I love that site. I need to send them some money to support it, to be able to look at the original flyer, see the legs, and I go in underneath another machine is an original set of William's legs, and I put it on, and thank you. Okay, another story. I sold a machine to a guy. Okay, I don't know if you've ever been to my store. It's a huge store. It's two halves of a building. And I've always had this fantasy of renting the front half. And I had to get a new furnace this year, and city inspector came in, and everything was blessed. And I told him, I'd like to build a wall here. And he said, oh, no, that's, you have to get architectural drawings, you have to get new bathrooms, get a new sewer line, and on and on. I get the guy who bought the one machine for me came back about a year later, buys another classic game. And while we're talking, Have you ever decided, have you ever thought about the idea of renting the front half of your store? Oh, yeah. Well, and the guy is into franchising and has some bars, and I shared with him what the building inspector said. You know, you have to build a wall, and you have to get the architectural drawings and new sewer line, new bathroom. Oh, we'll take care of that. But what he wants to do with the barcade is to fill it up with a whole bunch of retro video games. And well, where am I going to find retro video games? And I'm really happy, and the guy leaves, and another customer walks into the store and says, how am I doing? And never before have I ever said the words, I am blessed. And so we talk about, the customer leaves. Within an hour, I get a phone call. And this widow of a partnership where the route was purchased 20 years ago had this warehouse of games just sitting. And there it was. There were Galagas, Pac-Mans, Centipede, Millipede. In fact, next to the Gorf is the Cyclone that's on the floor. And just, you're a funny guy. It was just, actually, the timing is amazing. Go to the next one. There was Captain Fantastic. There was a Kiss. Two Wizards. Grand Prix. And parts and parts and parts. So I'm going to get a little spiritual on you. I am just so blessed. Dr. Wayne Dyer was not involved in The Secret, but a lot of the principles that he deals with. And I'm just going to, if you're not familiar with Wayne Dyer, he's done a lot of PBS specials, and you can find his stuff on YouTube. Have a mind that is open to everything and is attached to nothing. And in the past, I've talked about my problem with clutter, and I'm trying hard to work on this, is just to be able to let things go and be open to everything. And to think of the creativity that's in the part in the exhibit hall. It's just, what if we took the Pixie tubes and turned it into a 5-volt LED? Brilliant. It works. You can't give away what you don't have. Quit making demands on the world and ask what you can do for the world. It takes effort. Instead of just being lazy and waiting for the next person to do it, if you have an idea, pursue it. The idea of me opening up a pinball store. Pinball is my passion. For years it has been. And to take that next leap of faith, to do what I want to do, I am just having the most wonderful time in the world. For me to meet Ron and to be able to, I could not do what I'm doing without Ron, and he is just so good at what he does. Next.
I was going to say, with this slide here, tomorrow night, the banquet's tomorrow. You'll see some of my work. I actually brought it out here. I'm not going to say anything. You'll find me. You'll know who I am. That's all I'm going to say. But basically, it was an idea I set in motion. I went with it. And with, never a doubt, 4 or 5 hours every night, I put my mind to it, and I actually made it happen. But you guys will see it tomorrow, and we'll go with the flow.
There are no justified resentments. You must send blame out of your life. Do not assign responsibility of blame to others. When I get mad at Ron, it's like, why didn't you do... No. I could probably do what needs to be done just as easily as he could. And so instead of going off in a tirade, no, I need to blame myself. If I am upset, I need to look at myself, no matter what the cause. And don't die with the music still in you. Listen to your music and play it. I love pinball. I have more fun tinkering with a machine than I do playing a machine. And to be able to manifest a room full of pinball machines, thank God I am not a collector. Because all the games I have in my store, I would keep. But to the fact that I can have a Monster Bash come through, or a Guns N' Roses, or just anything, I can enjoy the game while I have it and sell it to someone else. And so they know, they can play it, they can enjoy it, and I know where it is. And the games that have come and gone, come and gone. In fact, the Addams Family that's on the floor is one that I sold in 1998 for $2,000. And it's on consignment. It's just, if you have a burning desire to do something, don't make excuses of, oh, I can't afford it. I don't have the time, or it's too big a project. No, if you have an ambition to do something, do it. Don't die with the music still in you. Embrace silence. One of the things I've discovered on my spiritual quest is prayer and meditation. And very seldom is there a day when I don't practice meditation. It doesn't have to be for an hour. In fact, in the last few months, I've started doing yoga on the We Fit program. And it's just to be able to breathe and to relax and to embrace the silence. Give up your personal history, embrace it, and then let it go. I'm very active in 12-step programs, and I'm not ashamed of it. And I have my history. I live with it, and I let it go. And you can't solve a problem with the same mind that created it. If I really effed something up, I need to change what the problem is, and the problem is usually within me, and fix myself, and the problem will fix itself. And treat yourself as if already were what you would like to be. My next fantasy right now is to be a writer. And these wonderful synchronicity experiences that I have, I've been journaling. And I have dozens and dozens. And I have fun writing them down and polishing them. Someday I want to write a book. Who knows? And treasure your divinity, knowing that you are connected with God. No matter what your faith, that there's something that's causing everything to happen. And I treasure it, and it's just part of the spiritual principles that I'm living with. And wisdom is avoiding all thoughts that weaken you. Shift to thoughts that empower you. You can do it. Come up with mantras. My current favorite one is do no harm. And by doing no harm, you do good for others. So I'm done babbling. And any questions? Yes. The question is about using battery packs versus other batteries. I was talking with Todd Tuckey, and he does the lithium batteries. And I've never tried that. You've done that one.
I've done it a couple times. But it's only when in a pinch or if you don't have a battery with you.
We find the battery packs fairly inexpensive and just run a couple wires.
I call it idiot-proof. I mean, you tell people to look for a battery box that's like in your kid's toy, and they know what they're looking for, but you tell them to look for a battery on the computer of a pinball machine, you're like, what battery? I can't see anything. But, you know, they can spot double A's anywhere.
And with Gottlieb System 3s using the button batteries, you don't have to worry about those leaking. And it's just absolutely brilliant. How can we make things better? Any other questions? Dave.
I usually change over to the Gottlieb button batteries on boards to get the same voltage. Change those over. Or another one on the side of my
And Dave suggested using the button batteries. They're fairly cheap, and sometimes you can find them at Hamfest shows and buy them in quantities. Any other questions? Well, thank you very much. One thing, my arm gets twisted every couple of years. Become an exhibitor. And the problem with being an exhibitor is you can't enjoy the seminars. I really miss the seminars. It's a totally different world on the other side of that room. So it's going to be a while before I exhibit again.
Yeah, if you guys have any questions throughout the show, just look for us. We'll try to give you guys some help with some pinball tech tips and whatnot. Don't be afraid to ask.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rob.